All right, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We will go ahead and get started. This is a regular meeting of the Programs and Services Committee. It is Wednesday, March 3rd. We are being video and audio taped. Judging by one of the boxes I see on my screen, we may also be either being recorded or broadcast on New TV. Or, you know, resident John Smith has named himself New TV Government Channel, which is really clever, Mr. Smith. Kudos to you. Okay. Present at the meeting, at the start of the meeting, I see from Ward 5, Councilor Bill Humphrey. From Ward 2, President Albright. From Ward 8, Councilor Holly Ryan. From Ward 3, Councilor Pam Wright. I myself am Josh Grinsman. I am from Ward 4 and the chair of the committee. We are also joined by Councilor Emily Norton. Let's see, from the city, who do I see? I see COO Jonathan Yeo. I see Commissioner Banks. I see Carol Stapleton from the Parks and Rec Department. And Lewis, I'm sorry, I'm terrible about your last name, DeMarisi.
That's right.
Okay, you can correct it. Was I close?
Yes, you were pretty, you were there.
Yeah. Okay, awesome. And Mr. Dunker, you're on the Parks and Rec Commission, correct?
Yes, I am. Okay, I'm on the I'm on the CPC and the Parks and Rec Commission.
CPC as well. Okay. Is there anyone else from either of those commissions that I'm not appropriately acknowledging here? Okay. The first item, and really the only substantive item that we have this evening, is item 61-21. This is a request for a response to a resident petition calling for investment in athletic fields. Hopefully folks have seen the petition that was signed by, I think, somewhere near, several residents calling for greater investments into our athletic fields. And I wanted to start this evening with Commissioner Banks, who has agreed to join us, wanted to, I think, give some sort of an update about sort of work that she's been doing, things that have been going on. My plan is then to turn it over to Justin Tressler, who was instrumental in the beginning of the petition and wanted to present a little bit of information that he has regarding our fields. And then I was going to open it up to discussion. Welcome, Councilor Baker from Ward 7, member of the committee. Appearing at an extremely opportune time, Councilor Baker, because I was just discussing the process for the night, and this would be a great time if anyone has a question about that process. But again, we are going to, I was going to let Commissioner Banks tell us, give us an update, then let Justin Traxler present to us about his petition, and then open it for discussion and questions. Okay. Seeing no hands raised or any need for discussion at the moment, let's kick things off. I will turn it over to you, Commissioner Banks. Thank you again for joining us. And please tell us or show us anything you need to tell us or show us.
Sure. Thanks, Chair Crinsman, and thanks for the introduction. I recognize many faces on the screen here, several of our staff members and Parks and Rec Commission members, as well as many of our sport groups who have been participating in our subcommittee forums at which we've been discussing athletic fields in detail. I also just want to recognize she's incognito here, but Sheila Butts is on the line, and she does our field scheduling for us. And it's really been, she's been a huge help to us through this process and working with all of our groups. And I know they really appreciate the work that she does. I'm not sure. I'm going to flip through the screen here really quickly. I don't see our superintendent of grounds might be joining us in a little bit, Derek Mannion. But he's also been working quite a bit on this, as has Luis from our office. So really appreciate all of them being here. So I have, I've been here for a year now. And I think this was one of the first topics that we started to discuss. And fields have really been a highlight of our discussions through our Parks and Recreation Commission and internally in our department, certainly in my time here. And there's been a lot of work done. Justin, who's going to present next, has really been instrumental to us working to continue this conversation. I think it's something that started prior to me, and we're happy to have it progressing. So the Parks and Recreation Department is responsible for over 75 acres of athletic fields. that we oversee, and that includes ball diamonds. We have approximately 63 ball diamonds for baseball and softball, and we have over a dozen rectangular fields that our sport groups utilize. We have three synthetic turfs, so two of those are at the South High School, and one of those is at the North High School, and we have six systems for field lighting. So we do have a good amount of space, and this doesn't include, we also oversee all the hard court surfaces, but this is just our athletic field space. So our fields subcommittee, we started convening in October, and we've really been trying to look at what some of the challenges and possible solutions for the improvements of field quality and field space in the city would be, so that we could bring some of those recommendations forward to Parks and Recreation Commission and eventually to the city to act on some of those. We believe that the field subcommittee is making some great progress in reviewing some of these solutions, and I was just going to highlight this evening some of those, and then, of course, if there's any questions that anybody has. So some of the challenges that we've been looking at, many of our field sites do not have irrigation, and so those are some of the most difficult sites to get good grass quality. So some of the solutions that we've discussed there are putting in a well or tapping into a city building if we have that available to us on that site. Another area that is a challenge is the turf quality. And so we've been really taking a look at the turf quality. Derek Mannion actually started a little bit before I did, a couple of months before I did, in the superintendent of ground, as our superintendent of grounds maintenance. He's been in our department for quite a while, and he really is an expert in turf management. So he's really been taking a look at our turf quality issues. Some of those include, we have bare spots and wear patterns that happen with the high amount of traffic, especially around goal areas, weeds that are in the athletic field areas, and we have been looking at solutions to those. We did pilot an IPM program, which was a treatment to tackle some of the weeds, specifically on the athletic fields, and also taking a look at our cultivation processes such as aeration and fertilizing and seeding, and just really reviewing how we are doing those things and how we are managing to keep up on that with, you know, the 75 acres of field space. And the third area that is really a challenge, and this is one that is very tough to tackle, is field overuse. And that is something that does tie into turf quality, but, you know, is really something that we are seeing. We basically do not have an opportunity to rest any of our fields. And actually, during the pandemic, this was one of the first times that we were able to rest some of our fields and see the improvement in the turf quality and condition that we could get from doing that. So looking at mitigating overuse has been some of what we've been working on. Solutions that we are thinking through there are adding fields at new sites, and in some cases improving fields that are in very poor quality, so fields that may not be currently used for games, and maybe they're only used for practices, and in some cases are of a quality that they aren't being scheduled at all at this point. So those would be areas that would allow us to bring additional space online that would be new space. An example of this that I could give would be at Oak Hill. We've had some discussions about improving the quality and condition of that grass field, and we've done some layouts that we could fit three full-size 11x11 multi-use fields there. We are also looking at reconfiguring existing sites. So this would be looking at trying to increase our rectangular field use. One of the things that you will hear from our subcommittee and from many of the discussions we are having is that we very much have a need for additional multi-purpose field space. So doing some reconfiguration work could look like redesigning where a ball field is and how the outfield is used for multi-purpose space. An example of this is we have a ball diamond that is not currently being used at McGrath. And so if we were look to look to take out a ball diamond and bring in additional turf and irrigation to expand the multipurpose use there. That would be an option for us that would help our system and the actual use that we need it for. The third area that we're looking for mitigating the overuse is looking at utilizing light systems where possible. These are especially helpful when they are attached with artificial turf, and we're very excited to have the new light system at the South High School. This has been a great thing for our department to be able to accomplish that, and we're looking forward to seeing sports being played under the lights. But we do have some other areas that need upgrading to our light systems, and that includes Forte, Pellegrini, and Albemarle. So those have been a piece of our discussion as well, and we recognize that it's important to have field space available when it's dark. So those are some of the challenges and types of things that we've been discussing. Another area that our field subcommittee has worked on has been reviewing our funding sources. So just to give you a few highlights of our discussions for funding and needs for funding, we have the city appropriation, which is our operating budget. That is something that we had hoped to increase in last year's budget and had plans with the executive office to do that. When COVID hit, we did have to pull that budget back and ended up moving forward with a level funded budget last year. But we are looking to increase our athletic field maintenance budget again this year. And that's something that we would like to continue moving forward with some incremental increases to that budget area to just continue to help support these areas. The other area that we've been doing quite a bit of work on is looking at our fees. So we do have user fees for our fields, and our subcommittee has recently put forward a recommendation for us to increase our rental rates to market rate. And so we did take a look at what surrounding communities are charging and found that we do need to increase our fees. So to give you an example of that, for a grass field, our increased fee as proposed right now for an in-town group would be $30 per hour, and an artificial turf field would be rented for $100 per hour. So increasing our fees would bring us more in line with what surrounding communities are charging and allow us to put some of that money back into our fields. Those funds are collected into a revolving fund by the department. So the other piece of this that we don't have a proposal yet for, but that we are currently working on with our field subcommittee, and it's important to note that we do invite all of our stakeholders to attend our meetings and participate, ask questions, provide ideas. But the second piece is going to be looking at our Newton youth sports groups and having a discussion about a fee structure that would be appropriate for the use by our local groups. This is something that we found in our comparisons with other communities, that many other communities are doing this. They basically have a user fee in conjunction with, taxpayer base for keeping up with their fields. And so we are taking a look right now at reviewing a per player fee per season, and also looking at an option of an hourly fee. And so that's a discussion that we're just talking about all the details with our groups to see how that would work for their budget and what their preferences would be for moving forward with something like that. To give you an idea of timeline on this, for the rental fees, we would think that that is something we could put in place by this summer. Working with our local sport groups, we would want to implement any fee changes for this coming fall. That would give them plenty of time to work with their boards and adjust any registration fees or do anything like that that they would need to do. So we would give plenty of notice there. Another area of funding for us is our capital requests. We do have a few of our fields projects on our capital program list. Some of those include we have three artificial turf carpets that need to be replaced in the next 5 years. And so we have those on our capital plan. We have the light system upgrades that I mentioned before for several of our fields Our light systems are basically coming upon end of life. They're about 25, 30 years old, and so we need to make some improvements to those. And we also have a turf conversion project at Forte, which is on our capital list. So those are some of the big highlights from our capital list, and could be, you know, requests for funding in the future. We have also identified CPA funds as a potential funding source for these projects. Many surrounding communities have been able to utilize their CPA funds for field improvement projects, and that's something that we feel is very important to prepare some project ideas and get ready to move something forward. We would like to bring forward a couple of projects to our CPC this coming year, and also put together a multi-year plan for continuing to invest in the athletic fields. This would be something where we could, you know, really improve and bring up the condition of a field to put us at a good starting point for then looking at the maintenance needs and, you know, general upkeep from that point. But really bringing back some of those lower quality, poor condition fields that aren't currently able to be used to their full extent. And that is about all I have for tonight. I would just say that everybody has been a great group to work with. I really appreciate everyone's support, you know, from our staff to our subcommittee to our Parks and Rec Commission. We really have a lot of people that are pulling together to try to work on this and put a plan in place. So really appreciate all of that. Happy to answer questions and hear from the rest of everyone else.
Thank you, Commissioner Banks. Just as one request, I think you were either reading off or working off of a list of capital projects. If that's available, I would love to see it. I may have already seen it, and I apologize if I have, but, you know, if you could sort of bump it to the top of my inbox by sharing that, that would be great.
Sure. Happy to share all my notes.
Appreciate it. Thank you. I see a couple hands up. I'm gonna call on you. I do want to try and go to Justin Traxler to let him do his presentation and then ask questions of everybody, but especially if there are questions or clarifications that folks need from Commissioner Brooks. Thanks. Sorry.
Sounds good.
Time. So, yeah.
Good ring to it.
Yeah, you may not know this, but it's in your future. I apologize to your future ex-husband who you're currently married to. Anyway.
Thankfully, he's out of the living room for the moment.
I think my wife still refers to me as her future ex-husband, but no, it's all good. President Albright.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you very much, Commissioner Banks, for that comprehensive report. I was just wondering if you have an assumption for, you know, if you were to raise the fees as you described, about how much money that would bring in annually?
Yeah, so we, you know, we actually don't do that much in rentals, believe it or not, because our fields are first prioritized for our school athletics, and our next priority is our youth athletics. Those are really, that's what we call our tier one and tier two groups. And those are not included in what I'm referring to as the rental rates. That's sort of the second phase that we're looking toward with our youth groups. And we have put together some numbers of what we could bring in, if we do a fee in charge with those groups. For the rentals, you know, I don't know off the top of my head exactly how much that would increase. But I believe we're bringing in, I really can't remember the numbers off the top of my head, and I'd hate to say the wrong thing here.
Well, you can just answer it when you have the numbers. That's fine.
I can get that together for you, sure. I can give you an idea. What we've been looking at is 2019 is sort of our last year of our regular rates, and so then we can take a look at what that additional fee, those additional fees would be with the new rates. I don't think the new rates are a huge increase, you know, but our field fees have not been increased for a long time. It's been, we think over 20 years, maybe closer to 25 years. So, you know, it's something that we're really, you know, we feel good about looking at this time.
And just one other question. I don't know if I missed this or if you're not ready to say anything about the budget, because the big reveal will come in May about, you know, what's in the budget. But did you say that there would be some new things in the this year for Parks and Rec for the fields or no? I missed that.
Yeah, so we are actually just getting ready to go into our budget meetings. So I will be doing that in the next couple of weeks. And this is one of the areas that we will be requesting an increase. I think that, you know, it's something where it's probably going to be, a minimal increase, but trying to get us back on track to where we were pre-COVID and sort of making steps forward in this area. So for our athletic field maintenance, we'd like to put in a request for an increase. I think we're thinking now about $25,000 as that increase amount.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Madam President. Next, I have Councillor Wright.
Thank you. I have some of the similar and same questions as President Albright. And so I'd be interested in the amount of money for rentals, you know, now versus the increase, what you're estimating. And getting back to the athletics maintenance budget, you said you're going to ask for a 25K increase. About how much of a percentage is that?
That's about a 30% increase.
Okay. And then how do you calculate the athletic field maintenance?
So I'm sorry, calculating the athletic field maintenance, do you mean?
Cost.
The cost.
How do you determine who gets what, the priorities? Because it sounds like, and it looks like you're under budgeted. So how does that work?
Right. So our superintendent and grounds maintenance is responsible for putting that budget together and then working within the budget we have. We do, you know, have a lot of things that can change within that budget. So one of the things that I mentioned was the irrigation. That's an area where we do have budgeting for irrigation and fencing. Many of those things will be, you know, if something breaks or needs to be tended to, those are things that we would have the budget amount. And, you know, if we didn't have enough to go into everything that we need to fix in a certain year, we would have to hold off until the next fiscal year. So that is something that can happen. The other area that we're able to support those types of things is through our field fees, those that we do bring in. So that's an account where we can also supplement some of those. But as far as what our superintendent and grounds maintenance will do, he will take what the budget appropriation is, and he will break it out over, you know, putting together a plan of which fields will need to have different things done. Obviously, things like mowing will need to happen throughout, but he may have certain fields that he will prioritize each year for overseeding, where he might not do other fields in a certain year. We really are trying to get to most of the fields for aeration. And those are the types of things that, you know, additional funds would allow us, you know, to be able to aerate twice a year would be great. I would also say that our sport groups will be the first to tell you that they do put money into the fields as well. They have specific things at some of the fields that they use that they also support financially. And so that's, you know, we make it work by pulling together all of those pieces. I don't know if that answers the question of what your.
A little bit. So, I mean, going back, 30% increase of 25K for field maintenance sounds like then your budget is about 75K for field maintenance.
Yeah. So we have a line item for athletic field maintenance, and that's the specific line item where I'm speaking about making an increase there. We do have additional funds for irrigation that are in the budget. I believe that's at about $50,000, and that fund is used for several different things, including irrigation and fencing.
We increased that from 30 to 50 in this fiscal year. So that went from 30 to 50. And the athletic field one is 75. We are hoping to be able to increase that in this coming budget. And then there's also a supply budget of 70,000 as well. That's, you know, some of that supplies is used obviously for field maintenance. So there's a couple different buckets that are used.
And okay, thank you. And one more question for right now. So you said you might be looking at CPA funds. So do you have specific projects in mind, or because it looks like there's quite a bit of money in the CPA for athletic fields and looking at the latest spreadsheet.
Yes, we do have specific projects that we're taking a look at. So Luis is on this call tonight, and Derek, they have been working on pulling together from several different sources of projects that we have. So we're looking at our capital project list. We're also looking at our open space and recreation plan, which we just finished the update of this past year. There's a lot of projects listed in there, and we've also asked our stakeholders who are participating in our fields meetings to bring forward any projects that they think would be helpful for the way that they are currently utilizing the field. So we're pulling together all of that information and looking to get ready to be able to make a proposal. I think our goal that, you know, we think will be possible is to try to bring 2 to 3 projects forward this year to CPA. We haven't yet, you know, identified exactly what we want to propose, but certainly some of the things that I just mentioned in my overview are high on our list, you know, as far as lighting and really looking at some areas that could bring additional field space online. So if I can go back, I do want to, I do have the numbers.
Mr. Banks, it looked like Luis wanted to chime in there maybe regarding the CPA project.
That'd be great. Yep. Thanks, Luis.
Oh yeah, sure. Commissioner Banks, you pretty much summed it up. But you know, to answer Councilor Wright's question, we are in the process of prioritizing all these projects. You know, the ones that are in the CIP list, as well as open space and recreation plan, and then the projects that have been requested by the leagues, we have to prioritize those and figure out which ones to move forward. And then once we have that, we'll have, you know, a couple of proposals for the CPA.
Okay. Just a final comment. If our athletic fields are so overused, finding more, you know, I think what you said with one of the middle schools there, some more space for fields would be a high priority just because it's being used so much in Newton. Thank you.
And I just want to also mention, in addition to working on, you know, putting together the field project ideas and trying to prioritize that, our department is also going to be going forward to the CPC for a pool assessment, as well as a Livingston Cove improvement with an observation deck. So, yeah, we look forward to getting to be in front of that group, and then we'd hope to bring forward some of our fields projects once we get through those 2 projects.
Thank you.
Again, Commissioner Banks. I noticed we have been joined by Councilor Leary. Councilor Leary, welcome. I know she takes a strong interest in this matter, was tied up earlier chairing the public facilities meeting. Thank you for making time for us this evening. Thank you for joining us. Council Leary, where we're at, by the way, Commissioner Banks presented quite a bit of information to us, has received a couple of questions. We're going to move over to get the presentation from Justin Traxler, and then we're going to really open it up for questions of everybody and a bigger discussion. So trying to limit the questions at this point.
I do have some estimates on our field fee. Just to give an idea of the amount of revenue that we currently bring in, if I can just kind of go through those. So currently for grass fields, we're bringing in about $36,000 in a year now. Again, we're looking back to our last information from a typical year that we're pulling from 2019. With our artificial turf fields, we bring in about $38,000 in revenue. With the new fees, we would expect this to about double.
Thank you. Next, I have Councillor Ryan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It's sticking to that. One of my questions was, so even with the increase, I'll ask you both questions now and then get off. So even with the fee increase on the fields, does that really make enough of a difference in your budget and the maintenance? And also, because I thought I was hearing it really doesn't. And also on the lighting on the, I think it was the 4 fields, you said need it. with the budget increase, well, maybe even getting back to normal or the last budget, will you be able to upgrade the lighting on those fields? Because what I wouldn't want to see happen is that they go into such disrepair, or we don't have the money to replace them, and then they're not there for a year, let's say, and we have to go through a whole process, that we just went through with Newton South to get the lighting there, which is, a lot of jumping through hoops. Thanks.
Thank you, Councillor Ryan. Yeah, I absolutely agree with you, especially on the light systems. I think where those are really at the end of life and do need to have, pole replacements, that this is really something important for us to move forward. As far as the funding, I think, what I'm trying to do is really looking at this holistically and trying to take the whole picture. I think that the CPC is going to be a really important piece for bringing some of these fields and field amenities like lights back to a standard where we are, starting in a good place. And then it is on the city through our fees and through our budgets to make sure that we improve our maintenance funds to be able to continue to take care of those. So that is really what I'm trying to focus on now. I think if I take a look at what we're doing with the fee increases, what we're doing working with our local support groups, what we'll be bringing forward to the CPC, as well as the steps we'll be taking with the city and the city budget. I'm, very hopeful that all those pieces together will make a huge impact. We could increase quite a bit. It sort of depends on what quality you want to get to. Do we want to be the Gillette Stadium, or do we want to be at the, more of a municipal level for our quality of field? So I know, Justin really has some good information that he's put together. He's really sent a lot of great information out. We might hear some of that tonight in his presentation. But that's something that we're very much talking about, and we want to make sure that all the components of this are part of our plan forward.
So do you think we can get the lights done this budget cycle, or it's going to take a couple of cycles?
So as Louise said, we're trying to organize the projects and figure out what to bring forward to CPC. Personally, I think the lights would be a great thing for us to focus on. I think those are very important. They're something that we've had them. We are currently utilizing them, and we need to reinvest in them to bring them, up to today's standards. They would be LED. They would have controls for us to manage the systems. Right now, some of our older lights, we actually have to pay staff to be out there and manage those. The new systems are much more user-friendly for our department and for all of our groups. So I think investing in the light systems would be a very smart move, and that's high on my list of things I think I'd like to see us move forward with, sooner rather than later. And I also, if I didn't say this in my presentation, I do anticipate that we'll be having these discussions for many, many years. So 10 years, I don't know how much time it will take to get us to the point where we feel like we've been able to address at least a substantial amount of these resources. But the fortunate thing is we do have a pretty good inventory. We have a lot of field space. And so this is just kind of tracking through and trying to create a multi-year plan for how to reinvest in it.
Thank you.
If I may add, Commissioner Banks, to Councillor Ryan's question, the relighting at Forte Park, that project would be a result of mitigation funds from the abutting developer. So depending on when those funds arrive to us, we may be able to upgrade that lighting system this year or perhaps the following one. So there's some partnerships that occur that could bump up a project or help it, get going.
Thank you, Councillor Ryan. Just as a quick reminder, I want to get to the other presentation and have a healthier discussion, but I see a couple of hands. Councillor Baker.
Thank you. I just want to say I'm very much appreciate the thought that's gone into this and is going into this. Just one caution flag is that the CPC funds are really supposed to be for things that the recreation are, in, at least in my sense of how it's been interpreted, are somewhat new needs rather than just a replacement, even though the lights are a very important issue, and I fully appreciate the value of doing the replacement. So I would be careful, and I'm sure you are, in thinking what is going to get a successful outcome at the CPC, as well as just the needs that are there. And because, again, part of what we've tried to avoid is having the funds be available in a way that is a substitute for city funds or city expenditures, but are really new things or things that are added that we wouldn't have otherwise.
Commissioner, I can just jump in there very quickly. The former chair of the CPC, what we're looking at are renovation projects. This isn't maintenance where we would be planning to pursue with CPC. These would be renovation projects, and many, many communities across Massachusetts use CPC funding, for renovation projects. Lexington is an excellent example, where they're pretty much on an annual basis or every other year, doing major renovations of fields, with CPC funds. So maintenance is on us, with the user fees and the city budget, and help from our partners as well. So, but, CPC would be for bigger, medium and big size projects.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you, Councilor Baker. Next, I have Councilor Norton.
Thank you so much, Mr. Chair. So I just want to start out by saying thank you so much for taking up this item and for the effort that it took the residents to get a 1,000-plus person petition done, and I look forward to Mr. Traxler's presentation. But I just wanted to point out while we're talking about fields, it's not just field quality, it's also field quantity. We don't have enough field space to meet demand. It's not just kids. We have really new residents of all ages wanting to use our fields. We also have all season sports now, fall ball, not just baseball in the spring, et cetera. So I was really happy to hear about reconfiguring our existing fields to be creative in that way. And I hope that we are also thinking about how we can create even more space, such as the area around Crescent Street. I have long thought that we should put an athletic field there. I also thought the Wobbin Park Reservoir would have been an excellent location for an athletic field. It's fun to see Lyle's face when I say that. But my Ward 7 colleagues were not down with that. I've given up the ghost on that. But I also want to take the opportunity to say, I hope we stop thinking about our parks as an opportunity for a land grab. So when it came to the Cabot School, there was a serious discussion about carving a 48-car parking lot out of Cabot Park, which I'm very happy didn't happen. We just recently went through a discussion about putting the senior center on Albemarle. We don't have enough field space. We need more of it. So I hope that we can just never, ever have conversations about taking our parks for buildings or roads or parking lots ever again. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Norton. Councillor Leary.
Thank you very much. Apologize for jumping in a little bit late. I was chairing public facilities, so I missed a little bit of the beginning of the commissioner's presentation, but I have been involved for quite a while now, so I've got a fairly good idea of what we're up against. And I realized that, giving some thought to this, that our fields are in this condition because they've been underfunded for decades. So I just wanted to – I don't expect – I think it will take years to get us. We don't have to worry about being anywhere near Gillette Stadium. However, one thing that I would love to see in the next 2 to 3 months is two CPA projects on the table. And within 3 months, have a set of plans, and measurable deliverables that we can do in 3 months, in 6 months, and 12 months, and how we're going to get there. And one question that I did have is how is Parks and Rec calculating how much maintenance we need for our fields based on, good to very good quality? How is that reflecting in your budget? Because I've seen some of the data that has been presented, and the amount of money that we're spending on maintaining our fields, it seems to be dramatically low. And I would particularly like to get a big bang for the buck. With looking at fields that we that are underutilized, such as Lions Field, which is one of our few lit baseball leagues that's underwater half the year. And Forte Park, which could get turf, and we could use it much more more heavily. So these are some of the things I would like to have some more deliverables and dates and like a plan. So Commissioner, do you know about how you guys are figuring out your budget for field maintenance and what that is?
So we are, using industry standards. So I think some of the things that we've looked at is, you know, a budget between $3,000 to $5,000 per acre would really be a target point for us with our municipal fields. That would be something that we feel like we would be in better shape with that type of funding. Derek Mannion is part of a professional association, so he is benchmarking with Massachusetts communities and sharing information and, you know, just trying to pull together how are other departments budgeting, what levels are they budgeting at, and how do we compare to those things. So I think that will be really helpful information for us. He has been a part of that association for a long time. But with these conversations we've been having over the last 6 months, he's really trying to pull some of that information together. So those are some of the areas that I think we would want to target for budgeting. Because we're talking about different types of funds that would come in, when we look at our fee structure, it's very important that we look at market rates and make sure that we're not overcharging so that we drive people to, you know, use the fields and not permit them properly, or undercharge so that we are, you know, the community where everybody is coming to and we're seeing overuse on our fields. So those are things that, you know, I think for funding, those are important things for us to keep in mind.
What are we spending now per acre on our fields?
So the, I don't know if you were on for this, but I mentioned our, athletic fields line item, which we are looking to increase. We're currently budgeted at 1,000 per acre in that area, but I also mentioned, some other areas, and Jonathan was able to point to a few of those that we, are also budgeted for that go into fields. So irrigation, contractual work, supplies, many of those accounts also bring in things throughout the year that are put into what that, you know, end number would be.
So we would need to triple our budget minimally to bring our fields up to somewhat good condition.
Well, I'm looking at it holistically, so I am
Councilor Leary, at least to do sort of the minimum of what would be anticipated. Sorry, Commissioner Banks, go ahead.
No, I was just pointing to our user fees being an important piece of this as well. And we did, you know, surrounding communities that we checked in with, this is also something that they are utilizing. You know, I think about recreation services, you know, we often have user fees that supplement, our tax base. And, you know, I'd point to our pool and our lake and our school athletics. All of those are things that we have a user fee. In addition to the city really supporting those as sort of a baseline amenity that's available in our city.
Commissioner, just on the user fees, you have the tier 4 to 5, which are, you know, the for-profit and the adult leagues that from people outside of Newton. And I'm wondering whether we should even have folks, those groups on our fields at all, since we do suffer from overuse. And if we do have them, I think we should be spending, we should be charging them what it costs plus something else to allow them to use the fields and really make a dent in our costs so we can, you know, use that money. Because the fees, from what I've heard so far, are not going to make much of a dent in what we need to maintaining our fields and keeping them in really good condition. But, you know, they're part of it. No question.
Yeah, no. And so the fee example that I gave was for the level 3 increase. That is, for local adults. So that would be like an adult softball group made up of Newton residents who wants to play. That would have a fee such as the $30 or the $100 if it was a turf field and they were, you know, say a soccer league that was meeting. Our tier five, I think, is what you're referring to. And that is something that does have an hourly fee, as well as there are times when we would charge a percentage of what they're bringing in. So this would be something that was a private clinic or camp that was running on one of our fields. My thought is that we should have a fee structure for these types of programs. We should have the option of reserving our fields for those. Say we can book out an artificial turf field for that type of a use and bring in some revenue. We should have that available. However, our ground superintendent should be keeping an eye on our fields and should be making decisions on when those fields need to be closed. Obviously, a lot of times that happens because of weather conditions. I can tell you I've been very impressed with our system for closing the fields and communicating that out to the groups. I hope the groups that are here tonight would agree with me. But I always see that communicated out if we need to close because of weather. That's a lot of times when you can see your turf condition deteriorate. But I would also feel the same to support our ground superintendent in being able to close fields if it was something that, you know, it couldn't take the use or, you know, eventually getting to the point when we can rest fields. Those are things that we want to work toward, being able to make those decisions within the department.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Mr. Traxler, it is time for you. I know you have some slides that you want to share. You should be able to share your screen. I do want to say that I, you know, encourage counselors to hold their questions until after both presentations had happened. And so I do want to thank Counselor Humphrey, who I believe is the only one who didn't feel the need to ask a question there. Thank you.
Very patient to wait until after that.
Can everyone hear me okay? Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
Can everyone hear me okay? I'm sort of doing a mixed media here with my phone and computer because I
We can hear you. We can hear you, but I can't see any slides. Are you trying to share your screen?
I'm going to share the screen right this second.
Okay. We're seeing your slides now.
Oops, wrong button. Sorry. Hit share. I literally hit share because of what you said. Okay,
there's
a Freudian. All right. Josh, first off, thank you to the members of the committee and those who are attending. Just a really quick introduction. I'm sort of here in many different capacities today, I guess. I have lived in Newton for two decades now. I've raised a family here. When we moved here, we did not have children. I've actually learned how to play soccer since moving here, and I am now the president of the Newton Girls Soccer Program. I've been in that role for about 4 years. We take great pride that we are the largest all-female soccer program in New England. We have, during normal times, about 1,200 players. Right now, we're at about 1,000. About 6 months ago, or actually, I should say about 2 years ago, realized that something needed to be done with athletic fields and sort of picked up the torch. I did not realize that I was going to be going on a pretty long and complicated journey. This isn't an easy problem to fix. And I have been taught by many wise people that an automobile has a very large windshield because you need to look forward and not look in the rearview mirror too much, because looking back doesn't really get you very far. I think the crux of this issue is that athletics has changed dramatically. In the 40 years since Newton Girls Soccer has been in existence, the dynamics have changed from pretty much one sport per season for boys, one for girls, and now we've got more women playing sports than ever before. Most seasons never end. In fact, I don't know if anyone has seen it. The Newton South football team is on the news practicing in the snow at Newton South the other night. So the dynamics have changed. Sports now are very organized. and there are more athletes than I'm comfortable to say ever in the history of Newton. So let me go ahead and get into this a little bit. Having worked on this with members of the council, Park and Rec, pretty much anyone who was willing to hear my spiel, I realized that we just needed to get more support from the community. We just have not made much progress. And so with some help from others, we formed a new organization. I'm not sure it's the greatest acronym, but Newton Athletic Fields Foundation. We've launched a website. We solicited signatures on a petition, and within a couple months had over 1,000 signatures. We packaged that up. We've shared it with the mayor as well as the Park and Rec Department. I've got the logos up right now of the organizations that are supporters of this effort. I want to make sure the committee realizes that this represents about 3,500 athletes, which means there's more athletes playing in these programs than every single athlete playing in a Newton Public School program combined. This is a very large part of our community. This is one of the few places I think that parents actually come together on a regular basis. This crosses every single demographic in our city. We've actually done zip code analysis and have found we have players from pretty much every square mile within the city. Athletics is just one of those wonderful things that I think brings our families together and is a huge benefit for all of our residents, not just the younger members. Okay, Nicole touched on this. I don't want to push too hard on what has already been said, but I do have to say the conditions now are really rough. I provided a few photos. The far left is actually from a study that the soccer programs just commissioned of all of our major full-size soccer fields in the city, excluding the two high schools. I wasn't completely surprised, but I was disappointed to see most of this field scored a D rating. A few snuck by with a C. But overall, as was alluded to and discussed, we're really far behind. And it's going to take years to fix this. And we just want to get going. We want to see some progress. Back of the envelope, there was a lot of discussion, what should we pay to maintain our fields? And if you look at the number of acres we have at irrigated fields, I prefer the $5,000 per acre. The range is actually between 5 and 10. I don't think 10 is appropriate for our municipality. I think 5, given the usage, is probably about right. We've got another 30 diamonds on top of those 45 acres. And so the math pretty quickly gets you to a $300,000 shortfall from where we're at now. And so the fields are in tough shape. They're flooding very often. You can see the one in the middle. The far right there, that's the Brown Middle School soccer field. The brown areas aren't, that's not grass that's gone dormant. Those are weeds that have just died off because they're seasonal. So many of these fields are more weeds than grass. Many are unsafe. Generally, I would say the quality of play is low to very low. As was also discussed, capacity is insufficient, which is actually a bit of a circular problem because the more you overuse a grass field, the more maintenance you need to do. And if you don't do that level of maintenance, then the quality deteriorates even more quickly. The averages for the municipal use that are suggested by most experts is about 15 to 20 hours a week. We typically overload most of our fields because we don't have enough. So we'll put two, if not three teams on a field, and we'll often have them practice and play games for 20 upwards to 30 hours a week. The other challenge we have is, as you can see in that diagram, we've really had to push fields into every little nook and cranny of a lot of these sites. And so this is Albemarle. You can basically see that they all overlap with each other. which means that in the spring when all of the sports are going, lacrosse, baseball, softball, soccer, and flag football, the capacity is even lower. And so you can find even more players on the same square feet of field space than you will in the fall. The diagram I've got at the bottom there is sort of the highest level summary. How did we get to where we are? Just so we are all on the same page. We've had an increase in athletes, increased in organized sports. So unfortunately, kids don't just grab a ball and head to the park anymore. They're signed up and they're overscheduled. And a lot of the kids are playing two different sports at the same time. So they've got sports 4 or 5, if not 6 days a week. The maintenance per hour of play has really gone down. And combine that with the fact that the sports that have grown the most require the most maintenance. I know Buzz is on the call. He and I have talked about the different profiles of a baseball field and a soccer lacrosse field. And I like to joke, in a baseball field, you've got 3 players standing in the outfield and they don't really move around. While on a soccer field, you might have over 20 kids running around for a game, but you could have 50 for a practice. The climate is a bigger problem than it was. We have a lot more rain. And then we have hotter summers. So the non-irrigated fields have really become unusable for just about any of the sports. And the capacity by player is also lower than it's ever been. So the problem is large. And one of the things the petition talks about is we really want to get commitments. And I appreciate Nicole shared with you that there are a lot of opportunities, but there haven't really been firm commitments yet. And Councilor Leary mentioned, let's just get some stuff going. I can confidently say, having worked on this now as many hours as I have, I don't think we can go wrong picking the first 5 projects. It's not possible. The list is so long that wherever we start, if we put just a little thought into it, we're on our way. And so I'd like to get you some of the solutions. As I just said, let's just get going. There's plenty of opportunities. I'm showing 3 right here on the far left. That I'm not sure how well it comes across on your screens, but that's Brown Oak Hill. You can see it's not exactly the most level field. In the middle there, that's Burr School. It's basically been abandoned. And on the far right is the new lighting system, which I have to take my hat off to, is fantastic. You can actually see, if you look just to the left of the football crossbar, that's a soccer ball being kicked, and it's fairly dark, and I was able to capture that on iPhone. It's a wonderful daylight quality. You'll also note in the background there, it's completely dark. So the new lighting technology has almost no spillover. So we've got all sorts of great options. We can refurbish dilapidated grass fields. We can try and build some brand new grass fields. We can install new lighting. We can upgrade the antique lighting. I have joked with a few of you that I think the lighting at some of our fields could qualify for CPA historical restoration funds. They're so old. And we need synthetic turf fields. And I'm not going to go into that discussion tonight, but the math is simple. If you want to play more hours on a fixed amount of field space, you can't rely only on grass. It's the same reason we pave roads. They're durable and they can withstand more traffic. Synthetic turf is the exact same. You can play 30 hours a week on it, and it will look just as good as when you started the season. A second solution point, and this is my last slide, is we really need help with this plan. I spent most of my career in program management. I've managed and developed $10 to $20 million plans. I expect if this goes the way we think that it should, at least I think it should, this is easily $5 to $10 million. But don't worry, it's not going to be 1 year, and it's not going to be two or three. I think we're looking at 5 to 10 years here. Let's figure out what to do in the next three. And that will take resources to put together this plan. We need to make a commitment that there are dozens, if not 100+ hours required to really think through a multi-year plan. I think, as I said, we can get through year one based on the backlog, but how do we do year two? How do we do year three, four, five? This is something that's going to need help. There was a lot of talk about the CPA. I'm a huge, huge proponent of using those funds. Since 2012, the CPA has been available for outdoor recreation projects. We've basically done one project in that time, the Highlands Park. It's a wonderful park. They did a fantastic job. It really didn't change the capacity of our multi-purpose field space. We built a new football field that unfortunately is not large enough for regulation soccer and lacrosse. I think we need another few projects of that scale. Remember, though, that that was an entire park. So we're talking about really focusing in on the athletics, and so the projects will be much more contained and lower cost. And I figured I'd try and pull some heartstrings here. Newton Girls Soccer on the left, Newton Mustangs there in the middle. They unfortunately weren't able to play this fall. The far right is one of the girls lacrosse programs. And I would encourage all of you, if you have not, please read the comments that were submitted with the petition. I'm not just speaking for myself. There are thousands of athletes and thousands of residents that want this done. And it will be a huge win for all of us. People that are involved in athletics, and there's thousands of us, will be really thankful when Newton makes this commitment. And with that, I'm going to turn back to Josh, and it looks like I just click stop share.
Correct. And you did. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Trassler. Appreciate that. I appreciate your work on the petition, your work on this issue for a few years now. And that presentation was helpful. I want to now at least have a discussion amongst committee members. I know we have Justin is going to stick around for a little while. He can certainly answer questions. I know Commissioner Banks is here to answer questions. COO Yo is here. We have a number of people here who can answer some questions. We have a number of ideas that have been brought up, and we have a number of sort of categories that some of these things fit into. I will say to just sort of, you know, frame this a little bit, there are a few different things. One, we clearly have a question about the maintenance budget and the work that goes into on an ongoing basis, on a regular basis, maintaining the fields that we have. We have questions about repairs that need to be made, as well as expansion. So sort of a bucket of, you know, fixes of capacity, I think people have called it, which is improving some of the facilities that we have now, as well as potentially expanding to make sure that we have the appropriate number of fields for the uses that the city is currently undergoing. And then the last thing is, I think there's a need for a long-term plan. I think everyone agrees that this is multi-years worth of work, that we have a large amount of deferred maintenance, and it's going to take us years to get to the conditions that we are all hopeful that we will have in this city. We're certainly going to have a discussion about when it's appropriate to invest more resources. There's a discussion every year, certainly in our budget, about which resources are appropriately spent in which areas. And my intention, at least, is to advocate for a number of resources to be put into the recreational fields and a number of the things we've already seen. So I want to open it up. I want to have some discussion. I'll save some of my comments for later. But the first one I have is my MVP of the night, and that's Councillor Humphrey, the only one who has been there for me. Councillor Humphrey.
Well, technically, I think maybe Councillor Baker. Did he actually raise his hand earlier?
He did. Okay. He did. He spoke earlier, yep.
I was going to give him the benefit of the doubt there.
But a couple times. I think he commented about CPA uses. and then commented later as well. But anyway, go ahead.
All right. Yeah. So
all valuable contributions, by the way. Everyone made valuable contributions.
So thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you to Commissioner Banks and Mr. Traxler for both of these very informative presentations. I think especially Mr. Traxler, this is a great example of how having a dedicated person or group that's focused on one single issue can really help move the ball forward, so to speak, on that issue. And I recently submitted my FY22 budget recommendations or suggestions to our finance chair, Becky Grossman, to pass along to the administration. One of those that I submitted was certainly to increase the investments in our athletic fields. And I think I mentioned that along with Councilor Leary during last year's budget session as well. You know, this is obviously such a deep crisis that you can't even really call it a crisis at this point. It's more of just a chronic emergency. And, it's also one that really affects so many of our residents as a total proportion of the city, as both the petition and the group memberships, as well as the school athletics programs, numbers all demonstrate. And I'm also very confident that I will be supporting any CPA requests for athletic fields if those arrive at the City Council Finance Committee, which I hope they will. One interesting idea I thought from the slideshow, and, you know, this is the first time I'm really thinking about it since we received those materials, was the idea of prioritizing the swing space concept with those early CPA funded projects, because as we said, right, there's going to be lots of projects coming down the pipeline for many years. But if we use that money early on to get some swing space, that will buy us some time to salvage some of the other fields next after that. That seemed like an interesting idea to explore. I guess one kind of ongoing concern that I have, and, you know, with any of these things, it's just a balancing act, is figuring out about this question of the, you know, operating budget coming from tax resources versus, you know, the other sources of funding that we talked about tonight, and especially the fees. You know, it's great, I think, in some ways that we didn't raise the fees for a couple decades to potentially a quarter century on some of the users. But on the other hand, that means there's going to be a pretty sharp pinch when that gets raised. And it's always kind of a bummer to have to raise those fees. You know, that maybe that's just simply the reality of it and partly a demand management thing. But, you know, it's always kind of a disappointment to have to raise user fees, I think. So I just wanted to kind of flag that for further thought and consideration. But I recognize the challenging situation we're in here and the need to bring it up to sort of regional standards. So it may be that we just have to bring it to market conditions. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilor Humphrey. The next one I see
I don't know. Do you want me to raise hand electronically? Because I can actually address that from a sports league perspective a little bit on the fees.
Let me have you address that. I'm going to go to other councilors. I'll save it. Go ahead, Mr. Traxler. Go ahead.
Okay. I don't know if I'm old enough to be Mr. Traxler. Yes, by the way, you can just call me JT. So there are sort of multiple dimensions to the fee question. The first is, and I think this is a bit touchy, but it needs to be addressed. The Newton Public Schools are charging $300 plus per athlete, but they don't contribute anything into the field maintenance budgets, which means there's a bit of a shell game going on with Newton Public Schools relying on the park and rec budget to cover their field. The second is the athletic programs. A lot of us are already actually starting to directly contract for field maintenance. So it's happening already. And what we're trying to do with the work that's ongoing is to formalize that. But just to make sure the committee knows the numbers here, with, you know, 3,000 athletes plus using the multipurpose fields, and Buzz can correct me, I think another 1,000 in the youth baseball programs, it won't take a lot per player to move the needle. What we're struggling a little bit is, because the system's been upside down for so long, what's the best approach and how much do we need to raise? I know for a fact as well, every single youth program, in fact, I approved one today, every youth program in Newton provides scholarships with no questions asked. So this will not be a burden on residents that cannot afford a fee increase. And I think those that will pay one will be happy to see that the conditions are improved as more money is spent. I'm going to glance over tier three, which is the resident users. But Councillor Leary mentioned tier four and five. Their market rates are very high right now. There is definitely an opportunity to drive some more revenue out of that. And I think that we're on the path for that. But I did want to share, I do think the sports teams are ready to go. We want a model that we think works. We want to know where the money is going. But the room is there for certain in the current fee structures.
Thank you very much. Councilor Humphrey, did you have more questions? Okay.
That was my points were covered. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. And thank you. President Albright.
Thank you very much. And thank you. I'm not supposed to call you Mr. Traxler. Thank you, JT. That was a wonderful presentation. And it's heartening once again, Newton citizens are amazing, and I'm sure you had a group that works with you and helps you, but you're the spearhead. So thank you for taking this on and sticking with it like as you have. It's amazing. So it feels to me like this is a multi-tiered problem and solution, and what we need to see from and come budget time, I guess we need to see it is. Given the problem and given a multi-year solution time frame, you know, where's the money going to come from to start raising the bar? What will come from fees? What will come from CPA? And what will come from the city? And I think Commissioner Banks, I think you need to give us all of that information about what your plans are for as you move forward. So that we have context for whatever it is that the city's planning to do, what else are we planning to do with CPA and with fees being raised to move the needle a little bit. So I would love to see that when it comes to us in May to study the budget. And I have a question about turf fields. It feels like we need more turf fields. And I don't remember how much we paid for the fields that I should remember because I remember the controversy over the field at Newton South, but I don't remember how much it cost to do a new turf field. Did that number come up tonight yet? No. Okay. So
I don't believe that number has come up tonight. It may, change as the years go by each year, maybe different, and it may depend in part on where we're talking about.
I can give you the estimates on that. So a new artificial turf field, full-size field, would be about $2 million. And the replacement turf, so what we're looking at for our current turf fields, the replacement of the carpet is about $700,000.
So it's a big number it's a big number to create one, and it's a big number to replace one, both.
But the longevity will be about 12 years.
And as I understand it, you don't have to rest the turf field, the artificial turf field. Is that correct?
Yes.
So it brings us more usage without more maintenance. So I would love for you to explain to us, when it comes time, it's a big expenditure, but what does it buy us? It buys us a lot. A couple of turf fields would probably buy us a lot of usage. And I guess I'm asking you to tell us when the time comes what does that expenditure bring us? It feels to me like it might bring us a lot, but, and it might be worth the expenditure. So I would love to hear a lot more about that aspect of how to solve this problem as well.
Councillor Albright, I can tell you that, probably our most forefront consideration right now for artificial turf is Forte. That is an area that it does have lighting, so it's a great location for an artificial turf field. And, you know, I think that some of the considerations we need to take into account over the next several years are going to be the type of materials we would want to propose for an artificial turf field. There's been a lot of improvements to the type of materials that can be used. Obviously, we want to take a look at the costs and when the right time to bring something like that forward would be. And for me, knowing what is on our capital list, it's important that we continue to move forward with our plans to replace the existing three carpets that we have. So we have two at South that will need to be replaced probably within the next 2 years, and the North Field will be behind that by 2 to 3 years. So just to give you a sense of what's coming up.
So we should not be looking for a new turf field in the immediate future in the CIP.
I think maybe like a 5-year timeline for that would be something reasonable.
Okay.
And Commissioner Banks, can you just speak to the appropriateness of CPA funds either for a new turf field or replacement of carpet?
So the CPA funds cannot be used for the artificial turf surfacing, but they could be used for components of the project depending on how we put that together. So we could have an improvement project that had other outdoor recreation components that would be suitable to request CPA funds. But as of right now, it would not cover the cost of the turf.
My understanding is that that's based on the state law that establishes Community Preservation Act and Community Preservation Committees, correct?
Yeah, it can cover the excavation and prep work, just not the carpet.
So the final thing that I want to add to the conversation tonight is that I know that this will be a difficult budget year. You know, we're not rolling in dough in terms of all the usual places and ways we get money from our citizens in terms of parking fees and all kinds of things are not going to be there this year. We had we have a gap year to fill in a sense. So I understand that. And so I know maybe we'll have to be a little bit more patient than we'd like to be. But on the other hand, we hope to see some progress. And
so I just would like to give an idea of one of the things that we're currently considering, and this is still under discussion at our subcommittee, but one of the proposals for the youth sports contributions is a per person, per head fee. If we went with a $20 per person, per season fee, we would bring in an additional $125,000. And if we coupled that with what we described with the appropriated budget, as well as the rentals, we would be in the area of the $3,000 per acre expenditure, which I think is really a good place for us to move forward to. And it's something that is reasonable for us now. Again, we've made it very clear that we don't want to see anything go backward. So, I think in future budget years we do need some time to come back from COVID and what that has done to the budget. So it will take a bit of time, but we're hoping for a small addition to it this year. And then coupling that with all of the different, revenue sources and the projects that we want to bring forward, as well will be an important component of it.
Thank you. To be continued in May. Thank you.
Thank you, President Albright. Next, I have Councillor Leary.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to say that the comments of my colleagues have all been extremely valuable. And I want to also, JT, just want to thank him for his perseverance and his hard work. He has motivated me so much, and I thought he's done such heroic work. And I want to thank him for sticking with it. A couple of questions that I have. One was, CPA money, as I said, can be used, for refurbishing and capital projects for all our fields except for, the actual artificial turf. And I'd like to ask the commissioner when a CPA project would come before us. Who would be, is it the Park and Rec Commission that's sponsoring that? Is there a timeline for it? I just think that money there is waiting to be spent on a good project, and we have several. Forte Park is in my ward. I'd love to see that happen. It is a lit field. It's getting new lights per the Riverdale Project fund. So I'd love to see that. I'd also like to see could there be a plan for the city to bond for a turf field using city money? And finally, my other question is the Burr School Field. That's quite a lot of space. Why don't we use it? And I have a couple things, but I'd like to hear why don't we use the Burr School Field? Is there any potential for that field? Thank you.
Thank you, Councilor. I think they used to have T-ball there, if I'm not mistaken. But Commissioner Banks, do you want to respond to any of those questions?
Absolutely. So I'll start backwards because I can remember. So for the Burr School Fields, that is on our list of projects under consideration. That project is really high on our list because it is not currently able to be used for multipurpose field space, and it has the space that it would allow for two full-size fields. So that would basically be something that if we were able to work on that early on in the sequencing of projects, we would be bringing additional field space available that would then allow us to, as we continue our work on fields, put some of the displacements. If we were working on a field that's currently in use, we would displace some of the sport groups to a new field space like Burr. So that is really an area that we have also identified as having great promise. I think your other questions were...
What's stopping us from using it now?
I believe just the condition. The condition is not in a point, not a place where it can be used safely. And I don't believe it has irrigation. I don't know, Luis, if you want to add anything to the condition.
Yes. Yes. So, like you mentioned, Commissioner Banks, all of those issues, but also there is a topography issue. There would need to be some significant regrading in order to fit the two full-size soccer fields. There's also a path that's currently there that sort of interferes with the efficiency of that field. So there's essentially some planning that needs to happen on top of the fact that we need to test the site to ensure that it's safe for, doing what we're doing.
It was built on a dump. That's why, right?
Yeah, exactly. So yeah. So we need to roll all of these things into the plan in order to get that field online.
What's really great about that site and a few of the sites that we're looking to target right away is that it can be 100% funded by CPC. And so we're really trying to focus on projects that we could bring forward and have them be 100% funded there so that we can get something moving right away.
So that was my question was what if you could bring two projects forth in the next 6 months or maybe one project in the next 60 days, do you guys have a good idea of what those would be?
For fields or in general? Because we have a few projects in general from
my
our department.
My interest in athletic fields, expanding athletic field opportunities.
So that's the list we're working on right now. So I think we've actually mentioned several of them here tonight. The lights, improvements for lights are a big one. Burr School, Brown Oak, those have all been locations that have been brought forward as potential projects. So I think what we would like to do is, complete our internal review of those and get ready to present something when we feel ready to do that through the city and through our Parks and Recreation Commission. Once we have it through those phases, then we would be ready to bring it forward to CPC.
To be fair, Commissioner, the Forte Park's been discussed at the Parks and Recreation Commission for 2 years now. Is there a hard date, a timeline for a deliverable?
No, not for Forte. There's not a timeline in place for Forte right now.
And then finally, has the city been considered, could you consider bonding for turf fields? Not since it can't be used, CPA can't be used for it. Would the city think of it a big capital project to improve recreation?
Yeah, I believe you could bond for any field project, including artificial turf.
Yes, but will we do it? Would that be something that can be a part of the discussion?
I think absolutely it can be, but you know, as you know, we've shut down almost all of our capital projects given during the COVID financial crisis. So it is something we'll hopefully be able to do in the next few years, is to ramp back up again on projects.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Councilor Leary. Next I have Councilor Wright. I will note we have been joined by Councilor Markowitz, who I know also takes a strong interest in this issue, but was otherwise engaged at other City Council committee meetings this evening. Councilor Markowitz, thank you for joining us.
I still am, Mr. Chair, so I'm jumping in between because we went out to sea on our issues. So
Councilor Wright, do you mind deferring since Councilor Markowitz hasn't spoken yet? Okay, thank you. I'll come right back to you. Councilor Markowitz, why don't you jump
really
in now?
I really appreciate that, and I will be brief. I want to echo some of my colleague, Councilor Leary's comments with respect to Forte Park. I will add, if you look at my background, you know what that is? That's Lions Field after a rain. And I know that Mr. Yeo is familiar with that, and I know that I'm sure Ms. Stapleton, I see her on. Hey, Carol Groh, it's great to see you. I know she's familiar with it. But I just want to speak. I wasn't here for the earlier part of the presentation. I am familiar with Mr. Traxler's PowerPoint deck. I looked at it earlier. And if there's a couple of things that I would just like to emphasize that we do, one would be, I do believe we need a full-blown, organized plan that shows a timeline, lists all the potential projects on there, and actually gives us some milestones to work to. Whether or not we can start that today or 6 weeks from now or 3 months from now, I think it's important that we establish something. You know, we did that with the Climate Action Plan. We develop milestones, and we're trying to execute it, and at least we know if we're making progress or not making progress, or if we're slipping or gaining. We can't do that without a concrete system of organization here. So I urge us, for whatever that takes, and I believe it may take outside help just because of the bandwidth of our departments, that we should undertake that. I also think with respect to bonding and funding, I know we have room in our ceiling for debt. I don't imagine the number that we would be talking to borrow here would be astronomical. Again, I don't know what that number is, but, you know, it could well be in the single-digit millions, which is not a lot of money to bond here. And I really think it's critical that we, you know, when I first joined the council, I think my first resolution ever to the budget process was for Fields. And I received a polite response, as did other people who were interested in it, but that was 3 years ago. So I continue to hear, you know, we're going to get to it. I appreciate the difficulties of COVID and so forth, but I think we need to squeeze the toothpaste tube here a little bit, force something else out and get going here. The utilization that we get out of dollars spent on these fields is leverage wise astronomical compared to what we get. You know, we gave $4.2 million in rental assistance through the CPC and so forth. But, and I understand that's a separate fund and everything, but if I just look at scale and benefits we're getting, to me, this seems like money well spent. And I urge us to, the collective leadership that's here to sit down after this meeting and lay out a concrete plan and start moving in a direction where we can do something about this. You know, I also noted anecdotally that there's a House bill out there to include synthetic turf as something that can be covered by CPC funds. Now, given the way the state government works, I don't know if any of us will live to see that, but it's interesting that at least, you know, popular opinion is understanding that this types of reconstruction and rehabilitation is something that should not be eliminated from this. So, you know, just kind of wrapping all that up, and I'm being really quick here. I apologize for the shotgun because of other stuff going on, but I really think that we need to lay out an immediate action plan, and I think we need to pick a couple of projects here, meet with Ms. Kreitzer, start laying out something that we can attack with CPC funds, and also look at other things that might potentially be low-hanging fruit that we can go after. The time for action is now, and I think that there's a growing sentiment among the council that we need to act now, irrespective of all the other challenges and demands we have. But, you know, it's a relatively small amount of money, I think, relative to the total body here. And the benefits returned for it are very great. So I urge all of us to look at that and to look at how we can work together moving forward to actually take some positive steps. And it's not a criticism of anybody. I understand why we are where we are, but it's just that I just think we need to focus on moving and actually doing something and demonstrating to our constituents as well that we are, you know, we're accomplishing something here. Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Councillor Wright, for letting me jump in there. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Councillor Markowitz. Councillor Wright.
Thank you. I'll try to be brief. Yeah, listening to all this, I'm getting somewhat frustrated. Is we need a plan, we need an action, and not keep pushing it down. And having something like within the month, having our first, there's so many projects that need to be, we need to do, picking one or two will be somewhat easy, you know, and adding additional fields like either Brown or Burr to be, you know, requesting CPA and start going that down the path and then look at the other things. And, you know, going through on the maintenance, you know, we're spending, I think you were saying about $1,000 per acre, and you were saying 3 to 5 thousand an acres average, and JT was saying 5 to 10. And I don't know what's the right number, but that's just for basic maintenance. You know, this is not anything great. And so we're woefully under what we should just for basic maintenance should be using for our fields. And again, this is something I would vote for, and I hope we can get moving on this. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Wright. Mr. Groshek, I see your hand is up. If I'm not mistaken, I may have this wrong. I think you're involved in the Newton Flag Football League and maybe signed on to the petition as well. Did you have a?
Yeah, hi, that's correct.
Did you have some comments here? Go ahead.
Let me put my headset on.
Yeah, that's the cool thing to do. I don't know why everybody else isn't doing that, but that's approach these meetings.
To be called on, but first of all, I have been on and off the call because I have some teaching obligations. But to make it very short, yes, I am the director of the Newton Area Flag Football Program, and I have worked with Justin Traxler in support of his initiative to help improve Newton Fields. And my comment was really pretty straightforward, and when I had a chance to look at the proposed fee structure, switching from an hourly basis for our program to a per-player basis, I don't have the math in front of me, but I think it would more than triple our expenditures. And I know some of you on the call have had your children play in our program. I know others of you have seen us, you know, participating and playing and hosting fields. We mostly use Newton Highlands now. And it's a great facility, and I'm very happy for the support that we have received. But when I saw those numbers, I was quite staggered, actually. And a program like ours uses a relatively small amount of hours, which is to say, you know, we usually have from 8 a.m. until, I think for the coming spring season, until 3 or 4 p.m. But up until now, it's usually been a period of 2, 3, 4 hours. And to switch that from an hourly basis to a per-player basis, I'm speaking quite bluntly, is going to be a pretty devastating blow to whether or not we're sustainable. So I guess I'm new to the scene in the sense of attending these types of meetings and trying to understand the prioritization and all the rest, and I get that there's a revenue question at play here, but it seems that the field space is the field space, and regardless of if you have 10 players on it or you have 500 players on it, to put it to one extreme, it's the same amount of time. And, you know, I think we've been great stewards of the fields that we've used. And, you know, I think that we've been a model citizen as far as that goes. And I'm not sure if the approach that I'm seeing is really, I guess to put it one way, fair. And that there's a lot to be said as well in terms of, you know, the hierarchy of how a organization is able to acquire a field, use a field, whether they're tier one, tier two, tier three. And again, I say this with the absolute utmost respect for the work that has been done. Sheila, of course, has been a great partner and a supporter of ours. So I'm not criticizing. I'm just looking down the tracks. If this happens, I don't know if we'll survive, to be honest. And I think there needs to be careful consideration for groups such as my own that, you know, may have a lot of players, but they don't use a lot of field time. And there needs to be, I think, some kind of balance in terms of how that is worked out. And, you know, so obviously,
Mr. Groshek, I think you're talking about the specific proposal on a fee structure, right? And what would be equitable, what would work for your league. Is that right?
Indeed. Is this not the time to discuss that?
It's relevant. This committee wouldn't have jurisdiction over that. So Commissioner Banks, go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to make sure everybody knows, we do not currently have a proposal on the table for this yet. And so this is something that we're going to continue to work through at our field subcommittee meetings. There are a lot of differing opinions on this, and it's been something that we've been working through for the last couple of months. And, you know, we do need to have some more conversations, and, you know, at some point we would like to have everybody in agreement, but I don't know if we'll find, you know, one plan that works for everybody. But I just want to make sure everybody here tonight knows we have not voted anything in yet.
And I guess I just want to add that funding for all of the things, which, again, many of us on this call want to do and want to get done, is a key component of how we develop answers and how we move forward. And I think fees are certainly a very relevant and promising area for the funding structure. I think there are still questions that need to be answered in terms of where those fees are, both the user fees as well as the league fees, how those get used, and the optimal way to allocate those in an equitable way to allocate those. Is that fair, Commissioner Banks?
Absolutely. And, okay. You know, before we move, you know, I talked about giving time for the leagues to budget for this. And also, you know, we would have a dedicated fund, and this would be used for everything that we've been discussing. And, you know, I think our sport groups are looking for as improvements to the fields.
Yeah. And I guess to conclude and
please leave
the floor. I am fully in support of, you know, let's find more places to play. I mean, the biggest obstacle that we face every season is where can we play? You know, we've got hundreds of kids. We want them outdoors. We want them active. And our biggest challenge is where can we play? So I absolutely agree. My only point, I suppose, in the end, was, you know, we need to have a truly equitable system that is cognizant of the fact that, you know, if we go too far in one direction or the other, we could be left without certain programs. And I think that's important to take into account.
Understood. Thank you very much.
For your time.
Councillor Humphrey.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. So this is, I guess, more of a finance committee comment, but I did want to follow up pointedly on, in agreement with some remarks from Councillors Leary and Markowitz on athletic field bonding specifically. Cause I was a little puzzled by the answer that we got earlier on that. There's obviously room for debate on this, but at the moment, borrowed money is almost free right now, given how low the interest rates are out there. And we're below, as Councillor Markowitz said, our borrowing ceiling. So I think waiting until the pandemic is over could it potentially actually end up being the wrong play financially. If something can be bonded, now is the right time to do that, because debt instrument purchasers are practically paying cities to be able to get a hold of their bonds so they can park their money, even if it's not going to earn them a lot. And bonding the projects really does divide up those sort of big upfront costs over a much longer period, so that it's not as much of a shock to the system to play catch up on all these projects. As we've heard, we're quite far behind the curve. We're always going to have to make various financial trade-offs in these, but at the moment, this is a lot less of a painful trade-off than it might be if higher interest rates ever come back. And I think also to a point that Councillor Markowitz made in terms of sort of leveraging this for the future, future revenues of the for the city in general are, which is a big factor in what when we are estimating our sort of debt load and how much we can afford to borrow, that's really heavily dependent on these type of quality of life things like the athletic fields. This is the type of stuff that affects the future revenues and our debt situation across the board, not just on this issue. So this type of investment is the kind of thing that I think strengthens our revenues over time and helps us stay ahead of the curve on our debt service.
Thank you, Councilor Humphrey. I really appreciate those comments, actually. Mr. Dunker, it looked like you wanted to chime in here.
Yeah, just,
I haven't spoken tonight, so.
You know, I know I'm on the subcommittee. I'm on the Parks and Rec Commission, yep. But I'm also on the CPC. And I know this is shooting for a home run, but we just went through borrowing $15 million to buy Webster Woods from Boston College and bonded that. And I'm not so sure why that model wouldn't work with some CPA backing and put a whole list together of everything we wanted to do and borrow the money. It's cheap right now and go to the CPA and get them to pay for some of it, or all of it. But if we can spend $15 million to buy that land from Boston College, why can't we do that with something like this? It's just my thoughts. I've been doing this a long time. I started working on Highlands Playground in 2005. So that's it. I am patient.
It is an excellent thought. I appreciate the contribution. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Councillor Norton.
Thank you so much, Mr. Chair. And I didn't mention this earlier, but as a graduate of a Newton Girls soccer program many years ago, not quite at the beginning of the program, but pretty close to it, and with a son who participates in the flag football program, the only type of football I would let my son play. It's a fabulous program. And I did have the same concerns. I knew that it's a preliminary discussion, so I didn't jump on it already. But since Mr. Groshek did, I will say that I absolutely would not support increasing the fees to such an extent that children are not able to participate. And particularly when it was such a minuscule amount of money that we're talking about out of a $500 million budget, whatever it was, $120,000 or whatever, that just sounded so small. It reminds me of the activity fees that we charge at the middle school and the high school that absolutely keep some kids from participating. So I'm really glad that you brought that up, and it is absolutely something that we need to be aware of as we move forward with our funding proposals. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Norton. I think it's a good point. I do want to point out that in previous discussions with Commissioner Banks, when this topic has come up, the point has been made several times that if a fee structure is established that we need to account for folks who cannot afford it, who need assistance to afford it, and it needs to be a very permissive structure to allow for those, that the structure would take place in such a way that no participation would be discouraged. I think that was the goal. I understand that there are always problems in simply having the fee. You know, you're going to say discourage to some people, like in the schools. I share those concerns. The only point here is to say that that consideration, folks have been aware of that. I'm not saying they can 100% eliminate any concerns or not account for them, but it's a good point. And I think folks have started speaking to that. I don't want to speak for you, Commissioner Bank, but just to be fair.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, we do recognize, you know, we want to announce what we're thinking about going forward with. You know, we're talking about if we do a per person of $15 or $20 per person for the entire season, you know, we do think it would have to be something that would be added into the registration fees and budgeted for by the group. So we understand that. And, you know, we'd want to work with the groups to make sure that scholarships are available. Those are all really, really important pieces for this. You know, the outcome is having that revenue to put back into the fields that all of these groups are relying on. And so that's a solution, one of the many that we're considering for the fields. And we're definitely putting a lot of consideration into what's the right way to go about the fee and what is the right amount. And we are open to all of our groups discussing those at our field subcommittee meetings. We're actually inviting everybody to attend those with us.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, could I just add?
Sure.
I just want to make it explicit that even when we offer assistance, it is shameful for many families to ask for assistance. So that's not always a solution. The wealthier our city is, the more shameful it gets for those who can't afford it and people on the outside who might look like they can afford it. I mean, you can't tell what someone's situation is. So I do strongly, even what might seem reasonable, $15 a year, if you've got several kids or whatever, it isn't going to be the same for everyone. So thank you.
Thank you, Councilor. President Albright.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to return to the CIP issue in light of what my colleagues have said about the low interest rates. I mean, I was sitting here thinking about the senior center, the schools, the roads. You know, we have a lot of pressure on our CIP, but if this in fact, and it really is a time of low interest, and as Buzz was saying, you know, some of it could be, obviously we can't ask the CPA to bond the turf because that they can't do turf, but the city could do the turf and a lot of other stuff could be done by CPA bonded. And then, I mean, I can't help getting over the idea that another turf field, it multiplies. It multiplies its availability to the leagues and the various leagues that use our field. So I just don't want the idea of a new turf. I know you have to replace the three. I just don't want the idea of a new turf field to fall off the edge of the world and be not thought about again for five more years. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam President. And, you know, apologize. Give me one. You know, the dogs utilize the fields as well, and they want their position to be heard this evening, too. It's both the off-leash dog parks, but
well, I think we're not supposed to be talking about our dog items on the docket, right, without noticing that properly.
Fair point, Councilor Harper. I don't see any other hands, so I'll just add that we've had a lot of good discussion tonight. I really appreciate the participation, both of the committee members as well as other councilors who joined us tonight. Really appreciate, Mr. Yeo, you being here tonight to answer some of those questions and provide some information that we hadn't heard before. Commissioner Banks, thank you so much for your involvement in this, for your dedication to this. You know, from my perspective, for years, and I think for me, it hasn't been as many years as other people, but certainly for years, we've been hearing that there just isn't enough money, and that we need to wait. We can only do so much. For years, my request has been, let's just conduct a study so that we know the big project that we're going to be working on, and then we can work on how to accumulate the funding necessary and how to develop the funding resources to actually pay for all the repair work that we need. I'm kind of past that point. I think we certainly need the study. I think we need a professional accounting of what are the needs of this city. What are the right number of fields? What are the right number of turf fields and grass fields? What are the right number of playing fields for each sport, for each particular usage, and how are we using those? But I don't think we have the time to wait for a study like that to be done before we actually start fixing some of these. I think Councilor Humphrey made an excellent point about the capabilities now in terms of bonding, both our availability as well as the cost to bond. I think it is a multi-year project that is appropriate for bonding. And I think capital expenditures like this are the appropriate types of expenditures for the type of financial situation that we're in and the time that we're in. I think this is when you invest in your infrastructure and when you invest and you bond and you find those capital needs that you have. So my hope is to, you know, possibly generate a list of priorities, maybe even put it into the format of a letter to maybe submit perhaps in advance of budget considerations this year to get those requests out there in the hopes that we can get some of that accounted for both through the budget as well as in terms of requests for CIP and CPA as well. So that's my hope, but I would open it up in here if others have thoughts about actions that we could take based on our discussion tonight. Or if maybe that sounds good to people, it sounds like a next step that we can take. Councillor Baker.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I concur with that. I just want to mention that I think the points about bonding are important. And, you know, at one point in not too recent past, we went out to the voters and asked for resources for the schools through debt exclusion. And I just wouldn't want to take, I don't think that's a likely possibility in the near term, but I do think it's important that we look on these as investments in the community and not just an expenditure. So I think your point of view is correct. And the other point I want to echo is the concern that we had heard at another committee meeting in the past that the commissioner alluded to about some of the groups from outside the city who are preempting some of the time that our citizens can have access or residents can have access to the fields. And our children went through Newton Girls Soccer. I'm just delighted to see that it's thrived and prospered. And thank you, those of you who are working on all of these programs as residents to make sure that they're available. So that's all I wanted to add.
Thank you, Councillor Baker. Councillor Leary.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This has been a wonderful discussion, and I appreciate you hosting the meeting. I am very interested in following up and having a timeline and a date for deliverables. And I would like to have this discussion again and maybe have it regularly scheduled, very much the same way that public facilities had Commissioner Morse come in to talk about the work being done in the school buildings during the pandemic. Maybe another 60 days, we can come back and have this discussion. And between that, get some idea of what's coming to the table of action items that we can push forward for some. There are things that we can do in the short term pretty quickly. And I'd like to see I'd like to see some action on that.
I think that makes a lot of sense, Councilor Leary. Thank you. President Albright?
So I'd like to follow up on Councilor Leary's action plan and that, you know, Councilor Grossman and Councilor Kalis have been calling around to the councilors to find out what our issues are with respect to the budget. And it feels like we are pretty united or relatively united in wanting to see some things happening with respect to the CIP, with respect to the maintenance budget. And maybe as a parens two of this, we could send a resolution to the mayor after this meeting asking for a sense of the meeting is that we would like to see bonding on the city side and on the CPA side to help with the field problem. And and we would like certainly to see the maintenance budget increased. So that would be our way of contributing to the conversation that Councillor Grossman and Councillor Kalis are asking us about. We could have this resolution as a committee to the mayor about this budget item. I don't know how colleagues feel about that, but it feels like it might be the right thing to do.
Yes, totally agree.
No, I agree. And thank you, President Albright. I'm wondering if you are talking about more specifics in the resolution or just a general resolution about utilizing those funding sources?
I don't know if we're ready for specifics. We certainly have had a lot of conversation about more bonding on the city side and on the CPA side and increasing the maintenance budget. Those are the things that just jump out at you from this discussion.
I agree. I'm just trying to clarify. I mean, you know, if I were to try and put down, you know, a list of things that were a little bit more specific than saying we encourage you to use all funding sources at your disposal, I would talk about a $375,000 maintenance budget. I would talk about a new turf field. I would talk about fixing the three turf fields. And I would talk about, you know, the next one or two projects that are appropriate for that the city is ready to move forward with. And I would talk about, you know, bonding and things like that.
Those are good. Nathan, did you get all that?
Yes, I think I got most of it.
Josh, I've got a sample roadmap at the next level of detail from what was in the deck. I can send that along.
Okay. I would love to do a resolution of the council, and so I would love for it to be a little bit more specific. So if the committee's okay, maybe waiting one meeting or two, I can try and, you know, formulate some more specifics on that. I think Mr. Yeo had his hand. Did you want to chime in here? I'm not putting you on the spot, but it looked like you wanted to chime in go ahead.
Thank you, Chair. I was just a reminder that city bonding is not a separate funding source. It is bond payments, no matter what the interest rates are come out of the operating budget. So it's not a separate funding source. We had to, due to what is continuing to be a financial emergency, we had to put numerous projects on hold. We had projects out to bid or about to be out to bid, really important projects like NECP and the expansion of the children's room and the library, which is well overdue and well used by many of the same kids who are playing sports, and other projects. So bonding is a valuable tool that we can use, and it is part of our budget. We'll be putting together a new CIP for October, and certainly projects, ideas, certainly Commissioner Banks is a very, very strong advocate for both the operating and the use of the capital budget going forward. So all the things that you've mentioned, we've been talking about with the commissioner at length. Just to let you know, we have a very strong commissioner here who is an advocate for all of these projects and then some, including the GAF pool, which is desperately needs to be a major renovation as well. Just keep that in mind, and we're planning to be moving ahead with projects before the CPC this year, and so that is exciting. Commissioner Banks, once we knew we were going to be changing commissioners, we wanted to get that person on board and for that person to really look at the whole program. She's done that. She's got a great team in place. And a new field manager in Derek Mannion is doing a great, getting off to a very good start. So we are moving, we're moving forward even in a very difficult, terrible financial fiscal year. We did in this budget, increase funding for fields, in our irrigation budget. And, we're hoping to continue those increases this year, even though once again, the operating budget will be very tight. So, we look forward to working with the committees, certainly, and also the CPC, Buzz, and the rest of your team at the CPC. So it's an exciting year to be moving forward on these. And I just want to give kudos to all of the sports leagues and JT for their support and leadership. And the fee discussions are difficult. As the commissioner said, you know, we may in the end not be able to reach total unanimous support for something, but we will need to move ahead with something. So thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Yeo. So if folks on the committee are okay, I think, you know, a resolution does make some sense. I think it will hopefully demonstrate to Mr. Yeo, the mayor, where support for those things lie, which, you know, as he said, a lot of which they're planning to do anyway. But I think it'll sort of, you know, crystallize some of our thinking on this issue, and I'm happy to put some work into that to come back to the committee with some draft language. If folks are okay with that, I would take a motion to hold 61-21, and then I can put it on a future agenda.
I'll move that.
We'll move.
Thank you, Councillor Humphrey. All those in favor of holding 61-21?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Thank you. Members of the committee, stick around. We have a few things to do. Want to quickly thank Commissioner Banks, Mr. Yeo, Mr. Traxler, JT. Yes, you're going by JT now. All the other folks who joined us, you don't have to stick around. We have a few more reappointments to do. But thank you, everyone, for participating tonight. Really, really enjoyed that conversation. Back to our agenda. The next item on our agenda is item 78-21. This is the reappointment of Marjorie Butler to the Election Commission. And I believe, Councillor Ryan, you may want to make a motion on this.
Yes, I'd like to move this item.
Thank you. Councillor Ryan has moved approval. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, I believe that is 6-0. Nathan, we are missing Councillor Noel and...
Ward 1.
Greenberg, Councillor Greenberg. Thank you. Next item, item 79-21. This is the reappointment of Jan Huffman to the Election Commission.
That's my ward.
Indeed it is, Councillor Humphrey.
I would move approval.
All right, seeing no discussion, all those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. That is 6-0, Nathan, for approval. Next item is item 80-21. This is the reappointment of Sandra Lingley to the Commission on Disability, and I will happily move approval on this one item. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? 6-0. Last item on our agenda is item 81-21. This is the reappointment of Matthew Volpe to the Commission on Disability. I believe he is in Councillor Noel's ward, but I'm happy to move approval of Matt Volpe. Any discussion on that one? Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, that is 6-0. My fellow committee members, thank you all very much. 9 o'clock. I was hoping that we could wrap up by 9:02. So, look at that. We're going to make it under the wire. Thank you all very much for the discussion tonight. We will meet again in a couple of weeks. And with
thank
that,
you.
I think we're done.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Have a good night.
Have a good night, everyone.
Bye.